Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today we talk about the Brazilian GP and the interesting races we've seen there over the last couple of years, and also about the FIA's decision on the disqualification of Grosjean in Monza. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Fergal. Hello everyone to episode 114 of the Fastest Lap Podcast. So yeah, let's start with the news that the FIA did not change their decision on disqualifying Romain Grosjean from the Italian GP. Were you surprised by that, Fergal?
I didn't really know what to expect. I think I probably would have been more surprised if they got their result back. So ultimately, no, I wasn't really too surprised. Haas claimed that it was a 50-50 situation.
Actually, when did we have the last appeal situation? I think I can remember something, but I can't quite remember what it was, where we also waited and something was decided on the green table and whatever.
You mean in can you Formula remember? One in the past?
Yeah.
I mean, I remember...
What was the last big... Oh, I remember. I think it was...
Was it?
No, I think it was the last big thing was the Mercedes tire test, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I remember at Monza a couple of years ago as well, wasn't Hamilton's victory in doubt for a couple of hours before it was confirmed?
But not really in Paris the FIA court or whatever it is. I think that the last time we had a big news from there was when Mercedes did the illegal tire test.
Right, yeah.
I think, yeah. Mm. Yeah, but sorry, move on.
I wasn't really too surprised, I guess, because the disqualification was already made after the race, so it was a big blow, definitely for Haas, more than anything, I think, because now they're 30 points behind Renault for fourth in the championship, and, I mean, with two races remaining, I think it's going to take something of a miracle for Haas to overtake Renault for fourth, but... Yeah, I mean, I do feel a bit sorry for Haas because, the situation was that the FIA made a technical clarification before the summer break about the design of the floor, but Haas didn't have time to change that in a couple of weeks, so that's why they were disqualified. But, I mean, rules are rules, I guess, and, I'm sure they're just going to move on, but...
I think we talked about that in one of our previous episodes, that the FIA sent out an email and has replied with just exactly what you said, that they can't fix it, and because there was no response, they thought the FIA agreed, which is a bit strange.
Yeah, but more than anything, I think it's just going to hurt them in their fight for fourth, because 30 points is a huge margin. Especially when you're kind of fighting just for, well, 7th, 8th, 9th, those sort of positions. So, I'm sure they'll give it their best shot, but definitely a disappointing outcome for Haas.
Talking about the Constructors' Championship, I think last time I checked, an interesting battle to watch for the last two races will be, a situation to watch is the Force India or Racing Point, whatever it's called now, and McLaren. I think McLaren, or was it McLaren? I think there's one team ahead of Racing Point, Force India, which they could maybe beat until the end of the year. Is it McLaren?
There is 15 points between McLaren and Force India.
Do you think Force India can close that gap?
I think so. I mean, it depends. Well, I mean, first of all, McLaren are probably unlikely to score points. Although saying that, the Van Dorn scored points in Mexico, which was very unexpected. I think it'll be pretty close. It's going to be very close between the two of them. It would be incredible for Force India to get sixth place back. That I think Force India were in sixth place. Yeah, they were before they had to start over after the Hungarian Grand Prix. So it would be incredible for them to get that those points back. But yeah, I mean that's going to be one. That's going to be one battle to look out for, and then also you have the Sauber Toro Rosso fight. There's just 3 points between those for 8th and 9th. So yeah, definitely another interesting battle there.
Speaking of Sauber, we also had some news this week that Marcus Ericsson has a new journey ahead of him after his Formula One role. Well, first of all, we heard the announcement that he will still remain a Sauber reserve and test driver, whatever. But now it seems he found a new challenge in the USA, right?
Yeah, he's going to be moving to IndyCar. We had this rumored for a few weeks. We knew that he was working on a deal, but to have it confirmed now is great. And he's in with Schmidt Peterson Motorsport. For people that don't know too much about IndyCar,
like me.
Yeah, Schmidt Peterson is a real, you know, it's a great team. He'll be full-time teammate with James Hinchcliffe. Schmidt Peterson Motorsport is also the team that Robert Wickens is contracted to. You know, Wickens, who of course had that huge crash at Pocono earlier this year. That seat is being kept for Wickens should he ever return, because he is bound on a multi-year contract. But yeah, Ericsson I think is fantastic, because I think IndyCar right now seems to be the most favorable racing series out there for drivers, except perhaps Formula One.
Also in terms of single seaters, right? What else is there? We've got Super Formula, we've got IndyCar. What else is in that category?
Well, if you're not talking junior series, I mean, you have Formula 2.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, I mean,
not really junior series.
Yeah, well, IndyCar.
Formula E, but that's not really in the same category, at least for now, I'd say, in terms of speed.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great move for Ericsson. And, you know, I'm a big IndyCar fan, and I'm really excited to see what he can do there, because, you know, you got to say, his time in Formula 1, he didn't really have the best machinery. This year, I think he's been doing pretty well. He has been outperformed by Leclerc, but you know, Leclerc is just a better driver, I think. You know, otherwise he wouldn't have got the promotion to Ferrari. But I do think that Ericsson can do well in IndyCar, and you know, you just have to look at Wickens. In Wickens' first ever IndyCar race last year, on his debut, he went and he got pole position against all the odds, and then in the race he was about to win, and then he was taken out by Alex Rossi towards the end of the race. And you know, so, and he had a few podiums. So for Ericsson to make a move to a high class team like Schmidt Peterson is yeah, really good for him, and great for his career, and it'll really, really benefit him, I think, after years in F1 towards the back of the grid.
Yeah, sounds good. Do you actually know whether IndyCar uploads some kind of highlights or whatever from their races?
IndyCar uploads full races.
Yeah, but I got no time to watch a full race.
Yeah, well, they upload half an hour snippet of the race, highlight reel of the race, usually the day after, and then yeah, about a week after the race, the full race is uploaded. So you can definitely keep an eye on all of that. And also, just IndyCar next year, we know now, is going to the Circuit of the Americas, and there was a test there last week as well. So another bit of a,
well, we got that nice Wiser cam.
Yeah, they've been using that for a few years now. I'd love to see that in F1. I think the speed would be incredible, but yeah, no, just, yeah, it's just finally in the Ericsson bit. I mean, it's fantastic, and I'm sure he'll like arriving at COTA, because it's a track that he knows, and maybe that might give him some sort of advantage. Who knows? But yeah, I'm definitely very excited to see him there.
Yeah, I was asking because I really like those 10 minutes highlights you get on F1 TV from the Friday practice sessions of Formula One, and I really like it, because I don't have usually I don't have time on Friday to watch the whole 3 hours of practice, so it's really good to get most of the information in those 10 to 15 minute clips from F1 TV. But even half an hour or something, I might have a look at that on the IndyCar YouTube channel. Yeah, right, so that's basically all the breaking news from last week. Not too much going on currently. I mean, we had the title decider in Mexico, and now it seems like, yeah, not much is really happening. But of course, there are still two races left in the season, and two races that produce some good races over the last couple of years, especially Brazil. Brazil has been on the calendar since, I don't know, forever. But yeah, it produced some great races, and I think even this week Formula One streamed the 2008 race of the Brazilian GP. And yeah, of course, famous for the "Is that Glock?" moment, where Hamilton basically won, or yeah, retook the championship lead from Massa in the last lap, in the last corner. Can you actually remember that race? You were not into Formula One back then, right?
I mean, I watched it, but I wasn't a hardcore fan. I was 10 years old when that happened, so I wouldn't have a too fond a memory of it. I was going to say about Brazil, the Grand Prix, it's been on the calendar since 1972. But the first race, which was won by Carlos Reutemann, was not part of the World Championship. But every race since then, it's been on the calendar every year since 1973. And it's been part of the World Championship.
Not bad.
Yeah, and it's been held at Interlagos since 1990.
And I'm sure we'll get the again this season the explanation what Interlagos means,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. between the lakes, sir.
Yeah.
And I'm sure. Well, none. Yeah. Hopefully it's going to be another good race for us. But yeah, that 2008 race. I mean, probably for me, and I think a lot of people would agree that it was the most tense. Title, but maybe not for the race itself, because Hamilton was the favourite going into it. He did have a bit of a gap in the championship, but I mean the last few laps were probably the most tense, experience of Formula One I think any fan could ever experience, not knowing who was going to win the championship, thinking that Massa had won the championship, you can't write that. You couldn't do it ever again if you tried a million times. Winning the world championship by overtaking a car on the final corner, I mean, like, that it's almost unbelievable, but yet it happened in such a spectacular style, and I don't think a championship has ever been won in such a spectacular fashion, and I really don't see how that can be topped, because it was just incredible, just unbelievable.
Yeah, and also the 2007 Brazil GP also basically turned the championship upside down with both McLaren's losing out against Kimi Raikkonen and the Ferrari, I think, who was third coming into the 2007 Brazil GP. Then we had that incredible race in 2012 where Sebastian Vettel got spun in the turn 3, and I think it is, and then we had the rain and dry and rain again and nobody knowing what tires they should be on. That was an awesome race as well. Then we had 2016 with the big overtaking show of Max Verstappen, also the title of our podcast episode from that race. And the question really is, what will it produce this year? Now, with Hamilton being champion, will we maybe see something similar to last year? Well, last year it seemed like the concentration was gone a little bit, crashed out in qualifying one.
Yeah, I think he started from the pit lane for the race as well. It sort of seems a bit of a trait with Hamilton. Whenever he wins the championship, he seems to, lose a bit of concentration. That happened in 2015, after he won the championship. Rosberg won the remaining races of the year in 2017. Last year, he won the title in Mexico and didn't win the remaining few races. And yeah, this year it'll be interesting to see what he does. Of course, his last two titles that he won before that were won in the final round, so we can't really tell how his form was after that. But it'll be intriguing to see how he does, how Bottas does. We'll wait to see if Bottas is able to capitalize on it, because Bottas is still the only driver out of the top three teams that hasn't recorded a win this season, and I'm sure he'll be looking to.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting fact, actually. Never thought about that. Yeah.
So I'm sure he'll be looking to claim a win, which he arguably, well, he's definitely been beaten by Hamilton, but there's been some points this year where he's deserved a win, like Russia, he drove well. Azerbaijan, he was on course to win before getting a puncture. So, you know, I would like to see Bottas win a race towards the end of the year. I've already said it before.
And not by team
order. Yeah, that's, I was just about to say that. I mean, I've said before, I would like to see him win, but I don't want to see him being gifted the win. I mean, Bottas said he wouldn't take it, but I mean, if Hamilton slows down to let him by, I'm sure Bottas isn't going to then slow down again and let Hamilton by, and then, you know, Vettel's going to come soaring through. And yeah, but it'll be interesting. I mean, maybe Raikkonen could maybe get another one, and it'll be, yeah, I mean, with Ricciardo after his Mexico rant about Red Bull in his last couple of races.
Yeah, didn't he actually say he doesn't want to drive Brazil and Abu Dhabi anymore?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but he clarified that afterwards.
Yeah, so hopefully he'll be able to end his Red Bull career on a high starting this weekend in Brazil.
Yeah, talking of ending, before we end our episode, maybe let's end with our podium prediction. What would you say for who will be strong in Brazil? I mean, we are pretty close on points, I think. We're like only 1 point separated. Of course, you can track our predictions on fastlapodcast.com/stats.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sebastian Vettel is due a win. He hasn't won since Belgium, which, you know, so long ago now, it's crazy. Because, of course, after his win, we had that streak where Hamilton was just unstoppable. Mercedes hasn't won a race since Japan. Ferrari and Red Bull have taken the last two victories, so I'm going to go for a Sebastian Vettel win. I think he's well due one. He raced well there last year. I'm going to go for Hamilton P2, and let's go for Raikkonen P3.
That's pretty close to what I was thinking. Well, I agree. I think Vettel will win that race now that Hamilton has the title, and as you said, you looked pretty strong last year, although you have to say after, of course, Hamilton had a fresh engine then in the back of his car, but he also was really, really quick in Brazil last year. So, to make it a bit more interesting, But I would still say that Hamilton finished second. Yeah, but for me, Vettel also first, Hamilton second, and Bottas P3. Let's put it that way then. And team order maybe in the last race. Who knows?
Yeah.
All right. Good. So that's it then for this week's episode. As we talked about, only two breaking news. But next week we've got the Brazilian GP and definitely a lot more to talk about. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.